morning. Good to see you. Thanks for coming to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, as some would do, especially as you see the day approaching. So the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we're going to gather all the more. There's something about gathering to worship Him, honor Him. I love your sign right there, Jesus. It's all about Him. If He be lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him. So it's just proper. People think, well, gosh, that's all they talk about is Jesus. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Come on, amen. It's a treat to be with you. I think I was here a few years ago. My wife was with me last time I was here. Then I was here 20-something years ago in your other building. So, man, time flies. But I love this place. What a cool building you have. And I know Pastor Peggy and Pastor Scott are having a good time. And I believe they'll, just as Brother Angel said, they'll come back refreshed and blessed. It's good to get away and chill a little bit and then come back fired up and wrapped up, tied up. Tangled all up in God. Amen. It's an old Pentecostal thing, but I love the flavor of your church, man. There's an openness and a joy. You can invite anybody here, and you know they're going to be changed. I know your pastors, I got to be around them a little bit in the meeting up there in Orlando when I was at Brother Norm's church, and they're just so normal. Normal's good. Amen. You know, the further you go, thank you, Jesus, for normal people that love the Lord. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. So, we're just excited to be with you. There's so much going on. We're going to get into end times today a little bit. And, in the past, it's been kind of a scary thing, but there's no bad news for us. There's nothing to fear. And I said, we have end time conferences, and someone walks up and goes, well, I was afraid to come. And it's amazing how this will be the most joyful thing ever. Because the reason why we'll get into this is He wants you happy and hopeful. Amen. And it's just cool that we get to connect the dots to what's happening in the earth right now that points to His return. And it's pretty blatant. It's pretty exact. Once we get into more of it, you're like, oh, my Lord, is that really happening? It kind of freaks you out. Different things happen almost every couple of weeks. And I'm going, man, I'm seeing another thing happen that I didn't think I would see before we leave. But, wow, we are so privileged to be living when there's more verses written about than anything. I mean, think about it. A third of this book is prophecy. And we're so blessed to get into it. So in the past, it was taught you can't understand it. And it was taught you can't tell when the Lord's coming back. When in fact, that's wrong. You can tell exactly when the Lord's coming back. The signs are there to tell you. I was talking about driving from Orlando down here last night. I flew into Orlando. The signs told me how far it was from Orlando to the Lake Worth. I didn't freak out. First sign, I think, was about 110 miles. Next sign was about 50. Next sign was about 40. I didn't freak out not once. Now, if I'd been going the other way, I would have freaked out. But the signs told me, just like if you're going to, you see, maybe you want to go to a Chick-fil-A or something, get some chicken, it says 3 miles. I'm going to say 8 miles. It says 8 miles. You know, in 8 miles, you're going to exit and get some. You don't freak out. The next sign says 5 miles. Next sign says 2 miles. So you anticipate exiting. We're going to get into some things today that you can anticipate the rapture of the church. Because they're going to be all signs of the second coming of the Lord. Two different events. We're going to go up first, then we're going to come back with the Lord. How cool is that going to be? So we have wonderful things to look forward to. And as we get into end time stuff, it's not an ending, it's a beginning. The rapture's not an ending for you. You have a whole 1,000-year millennial reign where you're going to be implementing the kingdom, working with the Lord, having fun, having a blast. Amen. So great things ahead. We happen to be on this sliver of time right before there's a dispensation change. So it's a real cool thing. So let's get right into the Word. Grab your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Peter. And I would introduce my wife, but she's not here with me. She was with me last time. And I think there was a picture of them somewhere. That's my sweetie back there. I'm so blessed. You can take that picture of me and put it in your house, and it'll keep the rats out. Praise the Lord. very unusual. It's a rodent deterrent. But anyway, let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You that death could not hold You down. We magnify the resurrection today. We lift up that You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, help us comprehend what was given to us when Jesus was raised from the dead. We have all this authority. We have the name of Jesus. We have the written Word of God. Help us comprehend what we are to do right here before we leave. Help us be soul winners before we leave the planet, Father. We recognize this sliver of time. We thank You for this church being blessed. We thank You for great strength upon this church, Lord. Great grace upon this church. Lord, amplify Your voice from this location right here, Father. We thank You for the whole surrounding region hearing about You, Jesus, that You'd be lifted up. We thank You for that, Father. And we thank You for great blessings upon their households, their kids, and their jobs. In Jesus' wonderful name, everybody said amen. Amen. Now, we get into end-time preaching because especially when you can really see what's happening right now. But Paul talked about the baptism 12 times, the coming of the Lord 52 times. For every verse there is about the first coming of the Lord, there's 8 times more about the second coming of the Lord. Very, very documented. Now, why would the Lord want it so documented? So that you can tell where you are and you can make changes in your life. I remember when Jesus was on the earth, he rebuked them. He said, hey, you can tell what the weather's going to be, but you don't know your hour of visitation. So it frustrated him that they didn't understand their visitation. He rebuked the crowd. Then he rebuked the Pharisees. Then he rebuked the crowd. So he wants us to know the time. Now, why would that be a big deal? At the end of a race, you accelerate. How many of you have seen car races? And when the white flag comes out, you freak out, man. You max it out. You may have conserved your engine a little bit, but man, when the white flag comes out, you smoke it. Yeah. I've never seen somebody when the white flag goes out go, man, I'll just kind of be casual this last lap. No. I mean, people go crazy on the last lap. You know what I mean? They take chances they never would take. They go for it. They're all in. So that's got to get in the church. And once we get into the signs of the coming of the Lord today, we're going to go through the signs to show us where we are. But as we do that, it shows you how you're to react to that. It brings you joy, brings you peace, makes you hopeful. It's amazing how he wants you happy. Yes. We should be so happy that people think something's wrong with us. Now, why would that be like that? I'm about to see him face to face. I've lived my whole life for him. I worship him. But all of a sudden, I'm gonna stand there at the throne of God. So I'm excited. And there's things for us to do now. We'll see that there's a little bit of time left, but not much. And the consensus has been, you can't tell, but the Bible's real clear saying, you are not in darkness so that day would overtake you as a thief. So once you look at all the signs and all the scriptures, it's blatant. And we'll go from signs today, then we'll get to signals. And there's things happening that are signaling how close we are. And it's very, very precise, very exact. And we can just go, wow, Jesus is just about to come back. So it makes you happy. Thank you for that one amen. I'll come preach to you. So what it does, it makes you really excited. Amen. Thanks for coming today. It really does. I'll preach right here. Scoot down. I'll just be in your row. Here we go. So what happens is, once you get into it, it makes a change. It makes a change. When you find out what Jesus did for you, it makes a change. When you find out that you're redeemed from the curse, it makes a change. In other words, it liberates you. When you find out you don't have to be beaten up and have no peace at night, it changes you. Everything he does quickens things. I'll give you a couple of them before we get right into 2 Peter 3. I was preaching in Hartford, Connecticut. And I was preaching in a church there. Matt Nillette's the pastor's name. I preached on end time, so I went real fast, you know, because it's super fast to get into all this. Had a word of knowledge at the end that someone had damage in their thyroid, and the doctor wanted to put a needle in there to inject in it to make it come alive, and their back was being healed. I said, well, you're healed. Didn't have time to call him down because I'd preached too long, you know. So after the service, this young man came up to me and said, hey, that's me. Doctors want to put a needle in my thyroid. I said, I can feel it. I'm healed. I said, my back's healed. I said, well, good, man. Glad you came. Jesus redeemed you, blah, 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 you know. The next night we came back. His girlfriend walked up to me and said, you don't understand about my boyfriend last night. So the whole time I was preaching, he said about me, he's a con man. He's a con man. He don't like my preaching, don't like me, and gets healed at the end of the service. See, the mercy of God's amazing.
Amen.
I was in a service in Craig, Colorado, preaching 23 degrees below zero. You had to have heaters on your engine blocks. And I felt like someone wanted to kill me while I was preaching. You know, I sense that sometimes, you know, because as a traveling guy, you're supposed to exude urgency. The pastor exudes decency. So if you're here today and you've not heard Pastor Peggy, make sure you come back and hear her preach. Don't judge the church on the traveling guy. But I felt like somebody wanted to kill me. You know what I mean? I could just feel it. So I was calling out words of knowledge at the end. I actually had a word of knowledge that someone got shot in the eye. Now I have weird words of knowledge. Saw a woman one time fly fishing in a church, Scott Webb's church in Birmingham, Alabama. Catch the hook in her eye. Saw a woman in Bartlesville get poked in the eye with a fork. Her sister had poked her in the eye with a fork. Meant to. Didn't do it by accident, purposely. So in this service, I saw a man get shot in the eye, called it out, nobody came down. I got to ministering to some other people. Usually I'd sit down on the platform and say, I'm not leaving until you come. I used to do that because I had more time. Preach too long now. But I didn't sit down. I got in a hurry, kept doing stuff and calling other things out, ministering to other people, and I actually forgot about the guy with the eye. Got back to the hotel that afternoon. Colleen and I went down to the lobby of the hotel. We're going to get some coffee. This man walks into the lobby of the hotel. He goes, hey, I was coming to the service tonight to kill you. I said, can I get you some coffee? You take cream and sugar? I go, okay. He goes, no, I'm the guy that got shot in the eye. He said, I didn't want to come down. I wanted to kill you. He said, but this afternoon, this presence came down over me. I got my sight back in my eye, and I called on the name of the Lord. So he got healed and saved, wanting to kill me. So see, Jesus wants to bless your neighbors. They may not understand you. They may think you're crazy, but he loves them. He loves them. So we're going to get into some things that you're going to comprehend why you were raised up to be a witness right here before his return. I mean, I love Benny Hinn. I love Brother Hagin, but God's got you here, right here in Lake Worth. So he wants to use you. So go here to 2 Peter, and let's start with chapter 3. Look at verse 1. This is page 295. You've got a Bible like mine. This second epistle, beloved, I like the tone of it. In the epistles, he calls you his beloved. He's not mad at you, not frustrated with you. In the gospels, you have a tone of not qualifying because Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead yet. So three times in this chapter, he calls you his beloved. He said, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you'd be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles, Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So you'll notice this. He gives you an idea of what the climate or the tone would be. People would be saying, hey, where is the promise of his coming? Now, that's crept into the church because I hear people in the church going, I've been hearing the Lord's coming all my life, but I haven't seen him. Well, the reason why you've heard that is because he's coming back. Yes. And you watch how he answers this in the very next verse. In other words, the climate of the last days, he said people would be scoffing. So look at the next verse. This they're willingly ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. He basically said the flood came and they didn't realize the flood was going to come. Mocked it and it still came anyway. They mocked Noah, thought he was crazy, but change came when no one believed a change is coming. You can feel that today, and I've said it at the first service, it's sad that Hollywood has more of a sense of change than the church. They got movies about zombies, movies about vampires, because they sense, you know, The Walking Dead. I can't believe people watch that, but there is a resurrection coming. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We're going to be caught up to meet them in the air. So they feel that change coming, and why are they bolder than the church? The church should be saying, hey, Jesus is about to come back. And we'll get into all the reasons why, because it's very, very clear. So Peter gives us some things here to think about, which is really good, but I don't want to get into all of it. But go to verse 17. He admonishes us in verse 17. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before. He said, beware. Interesting. Lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. Now he said, if you don't watch it, you can get caught up in that mindset and you could fall from your own steadfastness. And you can't fall from something you've never been in the first place. The words you've heard over the years makes you strong and steadfast. And there's six things the Bible says about the rapture of the church. Steadfastness. He wants you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So our response to the rapture is steadfastness. Not being moved by anything. Because remember, Daniel already prophesied about you. He said, you'd know your God, you'd be strong, you'd do exploits. A lot of people know the Word of God, but not the God of the Word. You get to know the God of the Word, and you mock lack, you mock disease, because as He is, so are we in this world. Right. Amen? I'm not trying to be like Him. He made me like Him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen? Come on, He didn't deserve sin. He was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So we didn't have anything to do with it. He had everything to do with it.
Amen.
And you, my friend, the first thing you're going to see when you get to that throne is you're going to see a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And Jesus is going to go, I purchased you with my own blood.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's why it's called redemption. He redeemed us back to our Father. So we see this, that Peter tells us, make sure you don't fall from your own steadfastness. That you could be living right before the coming of the Lord and be casual about God. Ooh, good night, everybody. Drive safely. That went over real good. Start the car. I'll be right there. In other words, you wouldn't that be something to all of a sudden be like Anna and Simeon? Think of Anna and Simeon. The Lord told them, it's the Hebrew word, krematazio, to be divinely instructed. They were divinely instructed. They wouldn't see death until they saw the Messiah. They go into the temple every day. No Messiah. Next day, no Messiah. Next day, no Messiah. You talk about having a tendency to whine. No whining, though. All of a sudden, there came Mary and Joseph. Anna and Simeon said, my eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. Begin to prophesy. Hallelujah. Amen. So they were in position, just a few people. So it takes people being in their spot, doing what they're called to do. Very critical. And we're that group of people right here before the coming of the Lord. So he's invested in you such a radical message, not just to be full of the word, but to do something with it. So So God set your life up. How cool is that? And really what it is, and I'll give it to you before we get into all this, is he's raised up a group of people that are going to implement the kingdom for a whole 1,000 years because you know God's character through his word. As he's physically reigning from Jerusalem, you'll be over different parts of the earth and you'll know how he operates because you learned him through his word, not through feelings. Well, I feel saved today, so I know how he acts. No, there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning with him. So he's raised you up to be these rulers, which is amazing. You're going to have a whole 1,000 years to do it. It's going to be fun. And that millennium is going to be awesome. Amen? So let's go over to Isaiah and let's look a little bit more. We'll get into why we get into this quickly because I want to get to the signs. Go to Isaiah 46. This is really neat. It shows you the flawlessness of God. Isaiah 46, it's, I don't know the page number, but we'll get there. How many of you are still glad you came today?
Yes.
How many are glad you're here? You're not in jail. Come on, praise the Lord. All right. That usually gets everybody. Praise the Lord. All right. All right, go to Isaiah 46. Look at verse number 9. He says, remember the former things of old. Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old. I'm God. There's none else. I'm God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So here he's saying, this is how you can tell he's God. He's going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. The cool thing about this is no other religion can do that. You can be talking to anybody from any religion, their book doesn't give you future. This is the only book that gives you future. Ezekiel prophesied the exact year Israel will be made a nation. Boom, happened exactly like the Bible said. Wow. The flawlessness of it is amazing. Gabriel told Daniel the year Jesus would come, but nobody's paying attention. Yet Anna, Simeon, Zacharias, Mary, Joseph, just a few people. Wow. Well, now we have all this revelation about his second coming so that we can all be in position.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. So let me read this to you. This is really cool. Look at the flawlessness of God's plan. Listen to these names. I know it's a lot of info, but I want to get to the signs, so it takes me a minute to get there. But listen to this. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death brings. Lamech means despairing. Noah means rest. Listen to this. So cool. The names of the first 10 guys in the Bible. Man is appointed mortal with sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death brings the despairing rest. Gives you the entire plan of redemption with the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. He said, I'm God. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. The wonderful thing about that is he's watching over his word to perform it. So when you say it is written, it is written, it is written, come on, he's bringing it all to pass flawlessly. So let's go look at the signs. Now, the rapture is signless, but the second coming has many, 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 many signs. So go to Luke 21, and let's major on maybe 10 or 12 or so, because I want you to come back. You know, I don't want you to. I have been in the church service when Jesus had left the building and the preacher didn't know it. Come on now, we've all been there. So I'm real conscious of time, but let's take a few minutes and get into these signs because they're very precise. Go to Luke 21, look at verse 24. Luke 21, verse 24, and we'll talk about the signs of the second coming of the Lord. He says here in verse 24, and they'll fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Pretty amazing. Jesus basically said, when you see the Jews get Jerusalem back, time is up. So what happened in the Six-Day War? After 6 days of human history, 6,000 years, you got Jerusalem won back. When did that happen? In our lifetime, 1967. The miracles that happened, you can Google it. It's called Against All Odds. It's amazing them interviewing the guys that were in it. They don't even believe the miracles happened. They said, well, something happened. It's called miracles. I'll give you a couple of them. I said at first service, 88 Egyptian tanks were coming down against Israel in that six-day war. One Israeli cook said, you know what? I'm not going to go down without swinging. He started firing shells out of this tank. Didn't even know how to do it. Just learned how to do it right then. Started firing shells at the Egyptian army. Eventually, the Egyptian commander came out with a white flag. He said, I'm here to surrender to the highest-ranking officer. And the Israeli guy goes, highest ranking officer, it's just me. He goes, oh, no, it's not just you. The whole countryside was filled with tanks all night, and you had men dressed in white on the front of your tanks. You've been shelling us all night, and we can't take it anymore. It's called a miracle.
Yeah.
Okay? And I said it 3 weeks ago, a Saudi Arabian newspaper came out and said, we still don't understand how the Jews won the Six-Day War. And they attributed it to those men in robed in white. They wouldn't even call them angels. But anyway, so it's a miracle. And there's many, many, many other miracles. I mean, just cool stuff where there was a big minefield and there were three or four soldiers. They only had a few bullets left. And they looked at the Syrian army coming at them. There's a minefield. So there's nothing we can do. All of a sudden, a huge wind blew through and took all the dirt away and exposed every single one of the mines. They walked right through the middle of the minefield and got away from the Syrian army. Miracle after miracle after miracle, because Jerusalem was won back in 1967. That's a pretty wild thing, and we'll get into some of the dates here in a little bit, and we're kind of on an anniversary of that. We're 50 years from 67. It's one jubilee, and that was 50 years from 1917. We'll get into a little bit more of that, but God's into anniversaries. Yeah. It's Brother Doug's 47th anniversary. I don't know if Brother Doug had to go home. 47 years, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. Amen. I mean, think about that. He said he spent a lot of money making that happen. He said it was money well spent, praise the Lord. All right, go down to verse 29, and he gives us a little more info, so we'll get into more. He says in verse 29, look at the fig tree and all the trees. The fig tree is the nation of Israel. So what happened in 1948? Israel was regathered, even to the point that Hitler killed 6 million Jews right before that to try to keep the plan of God from coming to pass. What was this book called? Mein Kampf. It means my struggle. What word is that? Jihad. Same spirit. So Israel's regathered as a nation. Amazing. And it's just like Joseph. He'll reveal himself to his brethren at the very end. God has regathered Israel. Now, my wife and I, she's from Los Angeles. I'm from Tulsa. And we were dating by text. And I thought, man, I can't show emotion by text, you know. So I moved her from Los Angeles to Tulsa so we could court. God has moved the Jews back to their land so he can court them. He's going to take the church off the earth. There's going to be a 7-year period called the tribulation where he's going to court Israel and show off for her. Russia's going to come down on Israel, and God's going to play rat-a-tat tat with his baseball bat. Amen. Bible says 82% of them. But see, it has to be in a different dispensation. It has to go back to Old Testament time, because in this dispensation you have all the authority.
Yes.
He has to take the church off because you dictate what happens during the tribulation, because he gave you all authority. See, people go, well, the church has to be here during the tribulation. No, the Antichrist can't even be revealed until you leave. You can't have the Christ and the Antichrist here at the same time. You're the body of Christ.
Amen.
So he removes the body of Christ so that the Antichrist can come on the scene. And it's amazing. He's going to have a peace agreement, I guess, he'll make peace there in Israel and the Palestinians, and it's going to be a false peace, the Bible calls it. Man, could you imagine thinking he's the Messiah and he ends up being Lucifer incarnate? That's the biggest uh-oh moment of midway through the trib. He goes into the temple and says, I'm God. And they're going to go, this ain't good. And that's when the devil knows he has but a short time. He doesn't know he has a short time right now. He's an idiot. He's stupid. Anybody that will go against the Father is clueless. Come on. I mean, you talk about, he's in darkness. We dwell in the light. So he's confused. He's messed up. So midway through the trib, the Bible, everybody goes, well, the devil knows he has a short time. No, he doesn't. Doesn't say that until mid-trib. Then he knows he has but a short time, 3.5 years left. Wow. So here we have Israel made a nation. That's the regathering of the Jews in 1948. Then go to the next verse 30. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer, our harvest is nigh at hand. He said, likewise, when you see these things come to pass, watch this. Know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. I like that word, likewise. He used this so easy for us to get. I live in Tulsa, and in the wintertime, man, the trees lose all their leaves. The grass turns brown. It looks barren. But all of a sudden, in March or April, you know, the trees will start budding. The grass starts coming. I've never seen somebody in spring go, hey, summer's not coming this year. What? The trees are telling you summer's coming. The grass is telling you. It preaches for you. Jesus said, likewise. It may not seem like Jesus is coming when you see the fig tree bud. You could see and know of your own selves. You don't even have to be told this. I don't have to be told summer's coming. The trees tell me. He said, when you see Israel made a nation, it's telling you the kingdom's about to come. I'm telling you. It's a pretty big deal. And even Kenneth Hagin prophesied about it years ago. He said there'd be a spirit or an attitude of seeing and knowing on the church. Where did he get that? From that verse right there. That was the Holy Ghost bearing witness to something in the church that you'll have an attitude of seeing and knowing. But let's talk about Kenneth Hagin for a minute. This is pretty crazy. In 1917, Allenby flies into Jerusalem on a biplane. His name meant in Arabic, a prophet sent from God to deliver you your land. So the Turks dropped their weapons. They thought, we're not going to fight against God. And all it was a general that flew in to deliver Jerusalem. Same year, Kenneth Hagin's born. The Lord appears to his mother, tells him to name him John. She doesn't name him John. She argues with him and says, I'm going to name him Kenneth. I just love that. Yeah, I don't like the name John. I'll name him Kenneth. But the Lord tells her he'll have a part in getting the earth ready for the second coming. Now, I went to Rhema in 1980, and I've preached in Rhema, Italy, preached in Rhema, Australia, preached in Rhema, Germany. I preached in 8 Rhema, Germanys, Rhema, France, Nice, Geneva, Paris, just finished the Paris school, preached in Rhema, Quebec, preached in Rhema, Sydney, preached in Rhema, Australia, preached in Rhema, Singapore, Philippines. Quietly, Kenneth Hagin's gotten the earth ready for the second coming of the Lord. Guess what Hagin means in the Hebrew? One to go before to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. So a man quiet as can be, just teaching the word. Boring. As a kid, I'd go, turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And I'm, my God, that's the most boring mess I've ever heard in my life. I listened to it on the plane coming here. I listened to Mark 11, 23. I listened to a message from 1973 because the word never changes.
That's right.
Incorruptible seed. When it's sown, it grows up and it becomes. So a man quietly obeying God with no fanfare, no flash. We want flash. We want fanfare. You know, we want Spider-Man. We want Batman. Kenneth Hagin goes, turn to Mark 11, 23. Whosoever will have whatsoever they say. And here he's gotten us ready for what God's thought pattern is. It's his word. Okay? So here you see the two main signs here. Israel made a nation. Jerusalem won back. Now watch what Jesus says in the next verse. Really cool. The next verse there in verse 32. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all is fulfilled. So the generation that sees those two signs, you're it. And so people go, I don't believe that. It don't matter. I hear people go, I don't like that. It don't matter. People say, I'm not comfortable with that. It don't matter. Well, brother, you can't be bold about that. Well, yes, you can if you can read. Jesus said, if you see those two events, now I got 50. He said, if you see two, 1967, 1948, we're privileged to watch God do physical, tangible things that we can connect to, and it doesn't even take faith anymore when you can see it. So let's go through a bunch more. Listen, let's look how cool this is. One of them is that men would be lovers themselves. We have selfie sticks now. That's a pretty big sign. That's one of the signs of before the coming of the Lord. It can't get much more blatant than that. I mean, let's take a few more pictures of ourselves. Come on. You know, how do I look, you know? All right, let's go through the main signs, though. The next sign is the Hebrew language restored. The Bible says right before the coming of the Lord, he'd restore to them a pure language. 100 years ago, no one spoke Hebrew. Now they all speak Hebrew. One guy, Eliyahu ben Yehuda, said, you know what? We used to speak Hebrew here. We ought to speak Hebrew. And he started coming up with the new names for airplane and fountain pen and stuff that they didn't have back then. Google that sometime when a language that's been lost like that and been recovered. Never. Never, ever. You can't find Amorites. You can't find Hittites. You got to dig tons of feet to find any of them. You don't have to dig very fine to find the Jews. I'm wearing what a Jew, Levi's. Mr. Levi had a bunch of canvas to build some tents. They had too much canvas. He said, I guess I'll make some pants. And so everybody's wearing Levi's. Where's Levi's forever? So that's the imprint of their covenants all over the earth. Almost every movie you go to is made by a Jewish guy. So the Hebrew language restored in our lifetime, a miracle. Because God said, I'll do that right before the coming of the Lord. God said, I'll reestablish them as a nation. God said, they'll get Jerusalem back. All right, what's the next one? The Ethiopian Jews brought back. 18,000 airlifted in one day. These C-130s flew right down into Israel. An American man paid $30 million to do it. He was known for running from the law. He was a money smuggler, a drug smuggler, and he was running from the American law, living in Europe. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do a good deed for the Jews. Our president pardoned him. One good deed for the Jews, and he got set free. They flew those C-130s right down into Ethiopia, and they airlifted all those Ethiopian Jews. And Chuck Roberts on Headline News said an exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. Wow. In our lifetime, 1992 is when that happened. So you got things happening while we're alive that the Bible said you'd see right before Jesus comes. All right, the next one would be the revival of the Roman Empire. Now, that's the United States of Europe. I flew from Norway down to Nice. They didn't even stamp my passport because it's the United States of Europe. Their money has the woman from the book of Revelation on it. If you look at the euros, that's exactly what it is. I've been inside the building, in the EU Capitol building. It's all the markings from Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they don't know what it is. Their art out in front of the building, you know how you have metal art? Art out in front of the building is a molecule of iron, magnified, because Daniel saw iron and clay right before the coming of the Lord. The crazy thing, Google it today. It's the Capitol building in Strasbourg, France. It's not similar to the Tower of Babel. It's identical to the Tower of Babel. It's that Babylonian system, we'll make our own way to heaven. No, you won't make your own way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the amazing thing is you got seven armies in Syria in a section of land where the Bible says the Assyrian comes from. And the Bible calls the Antichrist the Assyrian. And see, this EU is the platform for the Antichrist. Pretty amazing, because the Bible says in Daniel that he'll come from a revived Rome. So we're watching the world get set up for this stuff right now. The amazing thing is you can look at it and tell what Scripture says and go, you can check them off. Boom, 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 one thing after another. The next one would be the fertility of the land of Israel. It was so barren 100 years ago, Mark Twain said it won't support life. But yet now it produces 90% of the fruit for all of Europe. A place of land the size of New Jersey. And Israel's the only nation that has more trees now than since they've been keeping count. God told them how to put a little tray system underneath the trees. It catches the dew, and Israel has the most population of trees of any nation there is. Little old bitty land called Israel. God said, I'll give you tangible things to look at, and you can go, wow, God has to be connected to them. The hatred for Israel is probably the biggest deal. If we get into all that, man, it's just amazing. We'll get into in a minute some of the things that happened last week, some of the things that happened 2 weeks ago, and some things that happened last year that point to, that are blatant about Jesus just about to come back to the planet. Pretty remarkable. So we're blessed. We're privileged, aren't we? I was out looking at one of the fields one time, and there were roses all around the cornfields. I thought, why would you decorate your cornfields with roses? They said, well, the insects will go to the roses before they'll go to the corn. So they know how to make their corn grow better without even spraying them. I was on Mount Carmel one time. This is when Elijah called down fire from heaven, you know. I'm standing there on Mount Carmel, and I heard this jet kind of spool up. And I like jets and all that, you know. In Tulsa, they have these F-16s that buzz around all the time. And I'll just stand there and look at them. They're just awesome. All of a sudden, this F-16 shot out of a hole in the ground, right down in the valley where the Valley of Megiddo is, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be. An F-16 shoots right out of a hole in the ground, and there's an underground runway. I told my buddy, same guy I talked about earlier, I said, dude, I just saw an F-16 come out of a hole in the ground. He goes, you're crazy. All of a sudden, next thing you know, you hear another jet spool up. Whew, F-16 shoots right out of the hole in the ground. They have an underground runway right where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be. I'm telling you, man, I've said that because of the fertility of the land of Israel. You can look out through that whole valley, and it's just stuff lush and green and growing everywhere. God said, I'll make the land preach. So you got tangible things that can help you see what the land's doing. Let's look at some of the others. Go to Matthew 24, and the next sign would be the Temple Mount Institute. You say, well, what's that? That's a group of people that are ready to start having sacrifices. They've been going to school for 20-something years. They have all the instruments for sacrifice. They have a menorah. It's encased in plexiglass. It's solid gold. And there's no telling. I'm surprised someone hasn't gotten a helicopter and flown down in there and stole it. But anyway, that's what they're ready to have sacrifices. Their last name are called Cohen. They got men. That means priest. They've all been studying, all been getting ready for the priesthood so they can do priestly things. Last year, they had a sacrifice right on the edge of the Temple Mount. Somehow, they got away with it. I saw the video. The year before, they got arrested for doing that because it wasn't time yet. So God's going to take the church off the earth. It goes back to 7 years of Old Covenant time, and they'll start having sacrifices again. Remember the midway through the trib, the Antichrist goes in and says that I'm God and causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Because they'll go, oh, killing animals is so nasty. You don't need to do that anymore. I'll be God. And so it's just bizarre. So you see that happening. So if something's going to happen right after the rapture, and they're going to rebuild their temple, and you can see them getting ready for that. You've got Russia coming down into Crimea, Russia going into Ukraine. Okay, hang with me. If the devil can move Putin to get into position, come on, and God can move unsaved Jewish men into position, how much more can he move the church into position? Come on now, you've got Israel buying land in Jordan. I talked about this last service. I was there in November, and the Israeli government said, Jordan won't let us buy any more land in Petra. Now, that freaked me out. Why? Because that's where they're going to go for safety midway through the trib. They've been quietly buying up land right where the Bible says they're going to go for safety. I'll give you another one that's even crazier. I was watching a video a couple years ago, and a huge thing of water come pouring out of the side of a rock right there in Petra where they're going to go for safety. There is no water there. Water supply came pouring out of the side of a wall, formed a river right there for them. God's already got water for them before they go there. And then I heard a couple years ago that ISIS was damming up the Euphrates River to stop the water going into Baghdad, and I freaked out. Why did I freak out? The Bible says right before the second coming of the Lord, the kings of the east will come right over the Euphrates River because it's dried up. You got ISIS damming it up right now. So, I mean, there's thing after thing after thing after thing showing us that Jesus is just about to come back. The next one I didn't talk about last hour was Bishop Malachi. You ever heard of Bishop Malachi? From the year 1129 AD, a Catholic bishop. Hang with me a couple more minutes. I'll give you some signals and we'll close. I didn't mean to go so long. All of a sudden I was out of time. Catholic bishop has a vision. Now watch this. In the year 1129, this bishop has a vision of all the popes that will be on the earth all the way up to the coming of the Lord. He gets their coat of arms. Pretty amazing. The coat of arms is very detailed. He gives the coat of arms for 114 popes and got it right, 114 out of 114. I mean, in baseball, if you bat 1,000, you have to make a pretty good living. You make a pretty good living batting 3 out of 10. Come on. And this bishop got 114 out of 114. Guess what the 114th pope is? The one we have right now. Now, I preached this 2 popes ago, and people were like, wow, we got 2 more popes to go. And now we ain't got no 2 more popes to go. We're on 114 right now. And then you have an Israeli, this is one that still freaks me out, an Israeli ornithologist. That's a bird specialist. Bless you. Bird specialist. She said, I'm watching the Animal Planet channel, and she said, we have 172 different species of predatory birds that started showing up in Israel. And I'm like, she goes, we don't know what's going on. You Google it today. I go, I know exactly what's going on. Right after the rapture of the church, you have the Ezekiel 38 war. Then God calls on the fowl of the air to come clean the land up. 7 years later, you have the tribulation, and you have the Battle of Armageddon. He calls on the fowl of the air to come clean the land up again. You got the cleanup crew in Israel right now. Now, when people thought Noah was crazy, when the animals start showing up, they're going like, I start scratching my head going, he's crazy, but every animal that we think of starts showing up. Now, you got the cleanup crew in Israel showing up. So you got nature getting ready, Israel getting ready, Russia getting ready. Russia just built 4 or 5 new bases in Syria. One of them's 8 kilometers from the border of Israel. Hezbollah has 100,000 rockets aimed at Israel, and Russia's letting their troops stay right there. I could go on. There's way, way, way more stuff about that. The stuff that about the Temple Mount, though, that happened in the last 3 weeks is the big deal. Because if everything revolves around that piece of real estate in Jerusalem. If you live west of Jerusalem, you read left to right. If you live east of Jerusalem, you read right to left. And last week, a Hezbollah guy went into the Temple Mount, and they killed 2 Israeli police officers. So they shut the Temple Mount down. Turkey's president said, let's have Islam run and do masses to the Temple Mount to overtake the Temple Mount. And then they decided not to. Israel put up metal detectors and some cameras, and Islam went crazy. You're guarding that holy site to us. Listen to this. Jerusalem's mentioned over 600 times in the Bible, not mentioned once in the Quran. 0. All of a sudden it became holy to them. You want to hear a crazy one? Bestseller on Amazon, The Palestinian People, The History of the Palestinian People and Their Struggle. You buy that book, came out a few weeks ago. It's blank. I love that. There is no history to the Palestinian people. It's a made-up word. Is that the coolest thing ever? How'd you like somebody orders the book and it's just blank? They have no history. It's completely fabricated. It'd be like all of a sudden, I own Washington, D.C. No, you don't. I live in Tulsa. No, I own Washington, D.C. See, all of a sudden, just like the Antichrist is going to change dates and change history, there's this pressure on Israel to give up Jerusalem because they want that to be their capital. Why? Because Jesus is going to reign there forever. So let's talk about the signals for just a second, then we'll dismiss. Man, I preached too long. So you've gone from signs to signals. The signals are, the Bible said that the planets would be for signals. The heavens would give us signals. The Bible called them, first they called them signs, but actually the Hebrew word is signals. You had last year and the year before blood red moons on Passover and tabernacles. Pretty big deal that the heavens are going like this. Passover, I died for you. I'm coming back. Tabernacles is when he'll come back and tabernacle with men. So four blood red moons in a row, NASA calls it a tetrad. Guess when you had four blood red moons on Passover and tabernacles? 1967, when Jerusalem was won back. 1948, when Israel's made a nation. 1492, when the Jews were kicked out of Spain and God raised up a little country called America to be a safe harbor for the Jews. Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. All right, that's pretty radical. Guess what the gap was when the blood red moons just recently? 19 years and 48 years, 1948, when Israel's made a nation. Pretty amazing. In between them, you had a solar eclipse. Why? Why is that a big deal? The Bible says right before the coming of the Lord, the moon would turn to blood and the sun would be darkened before that great notable day of the Lord. You got an eclipse this month. For the first time in 358 years will America have a full total eclipse. 358 years ago is when the last time that happened. Okay? This one's even cooler than I'm stopping. The Bethlehem star. Bethlehem stars, Jupiter, king star, Regulus, regal, king star, and Venus came together at the birth of Jesus. Remember, men are from Mars, women from Venus. Venus is a mother planet. All three of the Magi were smart. They could tell what was going to happen by looking at they didn't have the internet, but they had the sky. So the sky was telling them a king is going to be born. At the birth of Jesus, all three of those came together. What's cool is Regulus did retrograde motion, formed a halo and a crown over Bethlehem. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So then that was cool. Last year, Lester Holt on NBC Nightly News said, we have a celestial event. We got Regulus, we got Jupiter, and we got Venus. And I'm like, man, I know what that is. That's the Bethlehem star. Last year, first time in 2,000 years. At the birth of Jesus, the constellation was Virgo because of the virgin birth. Last year, it was Leo. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes. Then you had Mercury do a flyby of the sun last year. Does it five times in a century. That's no big deal. But Mercury went down, the sun down, directly over the coordinates for the Temple Mount. The planets formed a sickle. The moon forms a sickle. Orion changed his instrument to hammer, yet hammer and sickle on the same day. Now, what sign is hammer and sickle? Russia. Russia's going to come down on Israel. God's showing them they're getting ready to go through the threshing floor. I don't need these signs because I have a witness in my spirit. But God is so merciful. He's like going, the heavens are going like this. Hello. If you're paying attention, he's doing everything he can. This fall on September 23rd, you got the Revelation 12 sign. This fall on Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, you got the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon at her feet, cluster of 12 stars for a crown. You got Leo and Virgo at the exact same time. Jupiter's being born out of her, so go back 9 months. If you have a birth of a nation, go back 9 months, you have a conception. Guess what happened 9 months before September 23rd? That's December 23rd. The UN voted that Israel doesn't have a right to police Jerusalem. So it's signal after signal after signal after signal. So what do we do as a church? Whatever we need to do. It's all hands on deck, man. It's like we don't fit church into our life. It is our life. We're about to see the king. Oh, come on. And the whole purpose of this is all of a sudden, this king and this savior that we sing about, we love, that died for us, I'm going to see his eyes as a flame of fire. Oh, come on. Voice of many waters. Come on. The King of kings and Lord of lords. So all this info is to get us to we accelerate. And the whole purpose of this is he wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants it hammered in you. I told you first hour, when my daughter calls me, man, I light up my phone. She's been married for 5 years, but she's still my little girl. I can't wait to see her this afternoon. I'll be in Orlando. I'll hang out with her before I fly back to Tulsa. And I live to hang out with my little girl. And Jesus thinks that way about you. He can't wait to see you. He wants you so expectant and so hopeful Thessalonians said, I'm writing this that you'd be happy and hopeful. Why do we talk about the rapture? So that you change your stance. You could be, Jesus said, you could be living, you could be downtrodden. Lift up your head. Yes. Your redemption is drawing nigh. So what we do as a church, we get as many people saved as we can. We help our pastor. We help our local church. We have all hands on deck. What would happen if your zeal so overwhelmed everyone that comes in next week and they go, how come you guys are shouting so much? We're about to see the King. Come on. In Europe, 25 years ago, I'd preach in Paris. They clipped their nails. Now you preach 8 hours and they're going, why are you stopping after 8 hours? See, their zeal is there. Let's have that zeal for Him, our King. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You for these signs of our King's return. Help us walk as we ought to walk. Jesus, 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 we love You. We magnify You. We glorify You. Bless this congregation, Father. I thank You. Their households are blessed. Their jobs are blessed. Thank You for their youth are blessed. Their kids are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I know that's a ton of information, but the main thing, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to the Lord, let's make sure we're saved before we leave today. If the rapture was to happen, we want to make sure we go up. You don't want to miss it. Come on. The whole purpose of the tribulation is to get born again, so let's don't have to go through the trip. If you're here today and you've never done that, you want to do it today, I want to pray with you. I won't embarrass you. I'll pray with you. But if you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you say, why would I need to do that? He paid the penalty for Adam's sin. If you're here today and you've not done that, let's do it today. Just with the uplifted hand, say, man, pray for me. I won't even have you come to the front. I'll pray for you right where you're at. Pray for me. I want to be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else want to be saved today? All right, let's pray this prayer. Even if you didn't raise your hand, I saw one lady raise her hand. If you're here and you didn't raise your hand, let's all pray it together and let's mean it from our heart, all of us. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept You today as my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Pretty awesome that you can pray that prayer, ask Him into your heart, and you live forever. Amen. You guys are so easy to preach to. I'm so sorry I preached too long. Please tell Pastor Peggy and Pastor Scott hi for me. Give them a hard time and harass them and tell them I missed them. And look forward to seeing you again. Have a blessed rest of your summertime and a good fall season. And we'll see you next time. God bless you. Give Brother Angel a big hand as you come. Thanks, Brother Angel. Bless you.
Glory to God.